Okay, so I want to talk a little bit about kind of a new initiative that we have because of some problems that I've encountered in my history in zoos, and you'll see how I deal with that in a minute. So I'd like to go back to the AZA accreditation standards here for a second and talk about the accreditation standards as a welfare wall. And thanks to Joseph Barber and Jill Mellon for advancing this concept. But essentially, it is difficult to identify quantitative measures of welfare on the other end of welfare. So we looked at the accreditation standards really hard and said, okay, what are all the standards that help us be proactive about enhancing animal welfare? And so if you look through the standards, you'll see, you know, we're required in accredited zoos to have a program for animal health, a program for enrichment that was a standard developed recently by the Animal Welfare Committee. Training's kind of not there, but it will be in September, I think. Research, nutrition, husbandry, in terms of professional curators and professional training and things like that. These are all programs that don't depend on a single individual. Back in the 80s and 90s, you know, enrichment might have depended on a single individual. So, but we had some problems, like I said, and despite having a 63-year-old Asian elephant and a whole bunch of programs that go back a long ways at National Zoo and are, you know, historically pretty famous, a research program, a nutrition program, mostly run by PhDs until just recently, a pathology program, and a complete review of all of our animal morbidity and mortality, blah, blah, blah. There was something missing, and animals were not having great welfare as a result of that. So, like I say, I've been around for a while, and to protect the innocent, I'd like to go back to a little problem that I had back at the time of kind of Middle Earth. So if you'll bear with me for a story about when I was kind of a new curator just starting out. Once upon a time, our high kings asked a young maiden to capture a unicorn. We asked why, but the answer was just because. Nobody really knew much about unicorns. They're abiotic and their social needs. We brought them into captivity anyway. They made a nice guess based on their knowledge of horses. They were thought to be highly social, stuff like that. And then we got them into captivity, and we had some very nice keepers. We had one lovely keeper who knew she could take good care of unicorns. She also thought she was the only one who could take care of good care of her unicorn. And she especially didn't think that the relief keeper, Mikey, could take care of her unicorn, although Mikey thought that he could take great care of unicorns, and he thought that the unicorns were really, really happy when the primary keeper was not there. But one day, the unicorn social group really broke down, and even though we thought they were social, they just started fighting each other, and so they got injured and they got sick, and everybody was concerned. We didn't know if it was food-related or environmental conditions, or just that we picked the wrong social mates and they just got nasty. The curator was a certified animal behaviorist, and yes, he had a PhD. I'm only doing that because I've got the PhD and I can. He was sure that the unicorns didn't have poor welfare just because of social pressure, because the exhibit was so big and it was so well designed, he designed it, that couldn't possibly be the case for this bad welfare. And the keepers thought it was a problem. The vets thought it was a problem. So the local elf tribe heard about the unicorn issues, and they sent a letter to the king. And when he translated the elvish, he said, "You people just aren't giving the appropriate veterinary care. And the elves are telling me that. And you didn't have the proper habitat to begin with. So the elves are confirming this." Well, the nutritionist agreed with that, and the keepers agreed with that. And the keepers, surprisingly, were actually in agreement with each other on this one. So the king loved his unicorns, and his animal care servants were now very afraid. They were all blaming each other for not having great animal welfare in the unicorns. And for their part, despite all the conversations and everything else, the unicorns were still unhappy. They were still fighting with each other, and their animal care was just getting worse, and their welfare was suffering. For the humans' part, the unicorn protecting keepers decided their consulting veterinarian was truly evil and didn't care about their unicorns. So the humans continued to fight, and the unicorns continued to decline. So there lived in these woods some unicorn-loving fairies, and they decided to appear to the humans and teach them about better communication. "Yo, humans," said the fairies, "presume positive intent, and then seek first to understand and then to be understood." And they got the unicorn keepers and the curators and the veterinarians to talk to one another and to listen to what their colleagues were saying. It was a little bit of a rocky road. The fairies taught about the importance of CPR. This was a technique that would, fast forward into the 2000s, be very, very important in modern times, and it's on all the New York City police cars. Courtesy, professionalism, and respect. Everybody needs to be courteous in their communications. They need to show professionalism, and they need to show respect for other disciplines. But the direct communications broke down even then, and this poor unicorn ended up in a museum. So the king brought in the local expert to talk more about open and honest communication through the king's iacuc. And the king said, "I command the use of an iacuc. They're empowered to act on my behalf and give the animals in our stewardship great care." And on the iacuc were members of the peerage. There was a king's own representative to help make decisions. There was a veterinary peer. There was a curatorial peer that wasn't that unicorn curator. There was a keeper peer that wasn't the unicorn keeper. A castle keep peer to ensure that the facilities were okay. And a peer to represent all of the king's subjects. And then another peer from the king's subjects who could represent ethical and religious concerns. And one of the king's subjects was, every one of the king's subjects was free to speak with any peer at any time, just in case the professional communication between those subjects and the unicorn veterinarian and the unicorn curator and the unicorn keeper broke down. And the king decreed that all of the iacuc communications would be confidential, but the decisions made by the iacuc would be transparent. And so all of those people on the iacuc were free to talk with each other very, very freely about not only those programs of care, but individual personalities who were getting in the way of those programs of care. And the king said, "This isn't a job, it's a responsibility to provide great welfare." So he was pretty pissed. And he directed the peerage to develop a process for this iacuc review. So in addition to the king's daily and weekly and monthly meetings on animal husbandry and veterinary care, the iacuc ensured that there was a proactive biannual review of all facilities to make sure nothing was breaking down, a review of all the care protocols to make sure that they were staying up with best practices and recent scientific advances, and a proactive biannual discussion with the area keepers where the unicorn curator and others weren't even present, but these outside bodies were. And there were confidential discussions with the peers when they were warranted. There were reactive reviews of the discussions, reactive quorum-based meetings with notes and follow-up with everybody concerned, and a mechanism for the subjects to go directly to the king and his court if the iacuc failed. And before the next iacuc meeting, the local expert reviewed good listening techniques with the unicorn curator. The curator practiced these active listening techniques and was asked to review the iacuc summary with his staff, and still things didn't go so well. So the king said, "Dude, you can't have an honest conversation unless you walk the talk. You've got to show your ethics. Professional ethics include AZA ethics and moral care for animals, moral responsibility for care for animals. And personal ethics include the Golden Rule and the Ten Commandments. And if you break ethical rules, if you're dating some other keeper who doesn't care about unicorns, then you're losing the trust of your colleagues, so knock it off." And the humans were still pretty stupid and asked, why is trust so important? And this knight, Peter Ronayne, came along and said, strong, trusting relationships are not about arguing, agreeing all the time, but about having firm foundations that allow people to air their concerns and disagreements and then resolve them together. And it may take a long, long time to talk and listen into a trusting, open relationship. But the result of that is open and honest communication on a consistent basis. And the fairies were really mad about this question, so they reviewed with the humans that effective communication includes presumed positive intent. Everybody's wholly important and everybody really does care. It's not that they don't give a crap and they're walking off and having a beer somewhere. CPR, everybody in every discipline is a professional. And multiple disciplines have multiple worldviews, but everybody respects these diverse views so that we can actually make positive change. And they reviewed the commitment to open and honest communication. We need to listen, and seek first to understand so that everybody can be understood. And the king commanded that all animal care staff would try to communicate better to understand each other and to make animal care better, and that would result in great welfare. And he said, animals first. And he calmed down and called them all back for a little bit more logical discussion. So he basically said, look, I don't even care what you all say, even if it's disagreeable to me. These conversations are about unicorn welfare. They're not about us. Really, the animals come first, so please chat. So the king's animal care servants talked about how they all had one interest, the best possible care and welfare of the unicorns. And soon thereafter, change ensued. And in modern times, soon is longer than it was in Middle Earth. And unicorns were happy and healthy and had great welfare, thanks. And all the king's subjects rejoiced. Where'd that go? Sorry. So, our contention is that the foundation of that welfare wall is missing. We haven't really talked about it. It's about effective communication, and I'd like to say that quote that Maria Rilke said, which is, make your ego porous. We say leave your egos at the door. Will is of little importance. Complaining is nothing. Fame is nothing. Openness, patience, and receptivity are everything. And good communication then gets us to great welfare. So one more reminder, there is an AZA accreditation standard that requires an animal welfare process. Our IACUC is our animal welfare process. It is open, it is also confidential, it is transparent, and we have good people who really care on that IACUC, including our outside members, and we can use those processes to achieve great animal welfare if there's courtesy, professionalism, and respect first. Thanks.